Okay, we're now turn over in your book, page 231 in your textbook, and we're studying the section now called Angelology. Angelology, and of course, has to do with angels. So let's begin here, and like we say on each one of these sections, we're not going to be able, due to the time that we have allotted here for these, to be able to take every page and go over everything about angels, but I think that we can give you a lot better understanding here as we go through this, so we're going to hit the major parts. First of all, we find out in Psalms 104 that who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire? So we're going to find out here that, first of all, that angels in the New Testament and Old Testament are translated ambassador, messenger, deputy, and minister. And they're also used here for human messengers that bring a divine message. And we find that in, for example, Haggai chapter 1, verse 13, "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord." Then for impersonal providence, and that may be some physical deformity, as we find out with Paul. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Can angels kill? Can Satan kill? Well, he surely can, if God gives him permission to. And sometimes he can just kill outright, or he will lead you to keep on in sin where you kill yourself. And, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where the man there was committing immorality, and finally Paul told them, you go ahead and put him out of your congregation, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and therefore turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So, yes, Satan can go ahead and lead a person to keep sin, until eventually that sin takes your life. All right? Now, we find out also, as we go on down here, on page 232, if you want to follow along here, we find out, first of all, that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And one example, and we'll give you some more a little bit later here, is Exodus chapter 3 in verses 2 and 4. And then we find out that also the term angel is not a personal name, but rather a title describing an office. And just like Pharaoh, Pharaoh is never the name of a Pharaoh, but it describes his office, just as we describe the office of the presidency, but it doesn't give the name of the president. And then there are three angels whose personal names we know. Lucifer, of course, and Michael, the archangel, and Michael is the only archangel that we have mentioned. And then we have Gabriel, and these two, Michael is probably the fighting angel, the archangel. He's the one that does the battling, and he's also the one that's going to blow the trumpet, therefore, for the church to be raptured, is he not? And the voice of the archangel, and he's going to blow the trumpet for the church. It was Michael, the archangel, that came to the help of Gabriel. Gabriel is known more for as the messenger of God unto Daniel and others and so forth. He was the messenger sent unto Zacharias. He was the messenger that was sent unto the angels, was he not? He surely was. The messenger that came unto Daniel, but he said after Daniel in chapter 10, he said, I have prayed 21 days. And anyway, Gabriel came and he said, I was hindered by the prince of Persia. That's a strong demon. And using that, illustrating him from a person who was the prince of Persia at that time. But that was a strong demon. But he told Daniel, he said, the first day that thou prayed, thy prayers were heard. And then we find out that Michael the archangel come and cleared the way in order for Gabriel to get through with the message, but he assured Daniel it was heard from the first day that you prayed. So you're going to need to know that. And also concerning Lucifer here, you find out that was his name before he fell. He was also called something else before he fell. Do you remember what that is? The anointed cherub. So if you have on your test there, what are the two names of Satan that we know before he fell and became known as Satan, the dragon, and so forth? The answer is Lucifer and the Anointed One. Now, we're going over here and we'll show you this because there will be on your test here also about who is the messenger angel. Well, that would be Gabriel. Who is the fighting angel that does the fighting and clears the way and so forth? That would be Michael. How do you know? Go in your Bibles with me over here to Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. In Daniel chapter 8 here, in verse 16, okay? Here we go. Daniel chapter 8, now it was Gabriel that brought these messages and interpretations and so forth unto Daniel here of these great prophecies that are given here in the book of Daniel. So we come to Daniel chapter 8 in verse 16. Notice what it says here. It says, "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, and which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." And of course, as Daniel, so forth. Then we come over here to chapter 9 in verse 21. And we have another vision here. Chapter 9 here in verse 21. Notice what it says. "And yet, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." You see. So, we find out here that Daniel was praying, and Gabriel came. He's the one here who is the one that brought the message to him. Now, we come over here to chapter 10. Let's go here to chapter 10, all right? And you begin to find here in verse 1, "And in those days I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks, and I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 20th day of the first month that I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel." You know, it's amazing he uses that because if you go clear back to Genesis chapter 2, you'll find out there were four rivers that came out of Eden, wasn't they? The Pison, the Gihon, and the river Euphrates, and the great river, the Hiddekel. Four of those that came out of there. All right, let's go on down. Here we find out, if we come on down here now, if you will, to verse 13, okay, or verse 12. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I've come for thy words." This is Gabriel. "But being hindered, God had to send Michael." So it's notice verse 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, and 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So we find out that these demons, if you want to put it that way, these demons were hindering Gabriel from getting the message through. But we find out here that Michael came, and he was the one that provided the help there and so forth. Now notice in verse 21 of the 10th chapter, all right? Here we go. "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Michael is the one that does the fighting. Gabriel is the one that bears the message and so forth there. Okay? Now, also you can write down Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. "He is the prince of the power of the air." And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, which says, "The God of this world, he is the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." All right? Now, we come on up here on page 233, and notice down here, if you will, we find out that their origin or so forth, they are created beings. They have never been gods, and then our God overcame them as gods. They were never with God because God never had a beginning. And we go to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. Ezekiel chapter 28 here in verse 15. Okay, here we go. Ezekiel 28 says this, and puts it right down here. 28 here in verse 15. "Thou wast perfect," speaking of old Satan here. Notice in verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, And I have set thee so, and thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast what? Created. Now he would have you, Satan, to believe that he was God, along with God, and now there's a big warfare, and so forth. But that isn't true at all. He was created by God. He was in an anointed cherub until he fell, and then that was that. Also, you want to use Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. By him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. There isn't anything created that God didn't create. All right? And then we find out there a mutation. Well, what do you mean? Well, we find out here that if we take Hebrews 12:22, you're come into Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now, that's sort of interesting because people have asked, how many angels are there? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Well, let's get some verses. Now, you want to write some of these others in here, if you will. Write in Daniel chapter 7. So let's go back in our Bibles again here and begin to get here in Daniel chapter 7, all right? Daniel chapter 7. Here we go. And let's begin to look here in verses 9 and 10. Daniel chapter 7 in verse 9 and 10. Now talking about Christ when he comes, in verse 9 it says this, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, that's none other than the Lord Jesus, did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was as pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. This is one of the couple of places we have a description of Christ. Also, do you know where the other description of Christ is found? Okay, Revelation 1. How about chapter 1? That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay, Revelation chapter 1. And notice in verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. That's a million. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set and the books were opened. That is 100 million, you see. Now, write this down also as a reference here. Let's go to Revelation here in chapter 5 in verse 11. All right? Revelation chapter 5 here in verse 11. Just you can write this in your textbook here if you want. I don't think it has it in there. Chapter 5, verse 11 says this, And I beheld, and I held the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. A lot of angels, isn't there? Now go with me over to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to find out that Satan only got one-third of those angels, all right? So two-thirds of them are with the Lord. So we're on the winning side, aren't we? Huh? Okay, speaking here in chapter 12, we'll just go down through here real fast, all right? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, and the woman clothed, that is Israel, clothed with the sun, that is the new covenant of glory in which she appeared before God, and the moon, that was reflected the old covenant, and under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And she, Israel, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. That was, Israel would have her Messiah. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail, using this symbolically, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Well, they say this is the third part of those demons who have their habitation in the atmosphere or in heaven. Now, when we use heaven many times, you got to remember this. There are three heavens. There's the atmosphere up above us here. There is the planetary system and solar system. That is planet number, or I should say heaven number 2. And beyond all of the stars and the planets and everything is the third heaven, which is the abode of God. And when you look this up in the Hebrew, you'll find out it gives three different Hebrew words for the three different heavens. All right? We don't have time to go into that right now, but anyway, that's what it is. And then we find out here, even when Christ here was in the garden praying, he said, "Think not, my Father, that I cannot call 12 legions of angels." And this is right after Peter had smote off Malchus's ear. He said, "Peter, you have to do that. I can call 12 legions or of angels here. There are 6,000 that compose the legion. That would be 72,000 angels that Christ could have called just like that, and nobody could have taken him." All right? Now, we find out there, what about the good angels here? Well, a great many of the angels dwell in the heavenlies. They surely do. And we find out this in Matthew 22:30, but also the good ones here. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, all right? And we'll look at a few of these here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, and some of these that dwell in the heavenlies, and what they do. Matthew 18:10 says this, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Are there guardian angels? Yes, there are. There sure are. And then we go to Luke chapter 2. Here we find out about them. Okay, let's go over here to Luke chapter 2. Okay, showing that their abode really is in heaven, but God allows them to come here when he sees fit. Chapter 2, notice in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, the heavenly host praising God, saying," the heavenly host, they came down here, of course, here to appear unto Mary and so forth, "but of the heavenly host," heaven was their home, you see, but they can go where God wants them to go. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, let's go on over here to the book of Galatians here, chapter 1, and notice here in verse 8, okay, Galatians chapter 1 in verse 8, here's what we find. It says, "But though we or an angel from where?" Heaven, from heaven, yeah, "preach any other gospel unto you," and so forth. An angel from where? Where's their abode? Heaven, of course. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Revelation 5, 11, here we go. Also, Revelation 5, 11 says this, we've had, "And behold, I hold heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. There were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands." Look in chapter 7, verse 11 also. Now you have that in your book there. Chapter 7, verse 11. "And all of the angels stood round about the throne," that's in heaven, "and about the elders and the four beasts, fell on their faces, and fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God." So their basic residence is up in heaven, but they're sent to the earth in order to do God's will, minister unto us, messengers unto us, and so forth like that. All right? Now, let's go on down. Angels are masculine, and this is quite a shock to a lot. There are no women angels, and they're all masculine, and that's why when they were asking Christ about marriage, he said, "No, you shall be as the angels in heaven, and who neither marry nor are given in marriage." Now, the reason was, who are they going to marry? Because there's no women angels. Are they going to be homosexuals? What are they going to be? Pedophiles? What are they going to be? But the reason they didn't marry was there's nobody to marry because they're all male angels. And wherever you find it referring to an angel, it's always he or them. It's always in the masculine, never in the feminine. One man said, you know, "That's a big bunch of bull. My wife's an angel. She's always up harping about something." And so, you know, but we don't really buy that. Okay, number four, are angels celibates? Yes, they surely are. There's no record of angels ever marrying angels. Why? Because who would they marry? Because they're all men. You see, all in the masculine there. They are deathless. They will never die, neither will you. They never die whatsoever. We come on down and begin to find here, they are illocal. That is, they're not subject to limitation or space. We are. Now, you'll find out, you want to write this in there when it says we are there along with Acts 17:26. Turn over in your Bibles with me to Psalms 115:16. 115:16, all right? This is a good cross-reference in there. And Psalms 115 in verse 16 tells us that the earth has he given to men. And so you're not going to find any other men on aliens or anything else on any other planets, because the only thing we know about, there are angels, their habitation is in heaven. There's nothing ever said about men being anywhere else or human beings anywhere. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The earth. And that's where men are at. Angels, they can go anywhere. I mean, they could be on Pluto, Saturn, any place you want to put them. But there's no life there as far as anything related to human beings or anything else, and nothing that God has ever given us. So these idiots that are trying to find some life on Mars or so forth are just exactly what they started out. They'll end up, and they started out idiots, and they'll end up idiots. Exactly what they are. Okay, they are subordinate. That means they are always subject to God. Even the devil is in this category. There's nothing that he can do but by the will of God. Boy, that's good to know, isn't it? Huh? 1 Peter 3:2 and tells us this here, that Jesus Christ is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Also, write down Job chapter 1 and 2 and Zechariah chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. You'll find out there in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 when God was giving the commandment there for Joshua and Zerubbabel to go there to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple, Zerubbabel's temple. You'll find out when he was giving those instructions there that Satan came also. Just go in your Bible over there, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Satan came also. The old boy gets around, doesn't he, huh? He gets around me a lot, I'll tell you. But he travels and covers the ground, doesn't he? He surely does. No wonder he never bothers you. He's too busy hanging around me. Okay, here we go. Where are we at here? Zechariah chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? What do you mean? Well, after 70 years of captivity in the fire of God's chastening, they're plucked out. Now God wants them to build the temple at Jerusalem. God has already prepared King Cyrus in Ezra chapter 1, verse 13, or 1, verses 1 to 3, to do that. So they're plucked out of the fire of captivity here. Now God wants to do that, but who's there to resist them? Satan. Wherever God calls you for a ministry, mark it down, Satan will be there to resist you. He'll always be there. Now, I didn't say this to this young preacher down in Florida, but if he calls again, I'm going to do this. And I mentioned this in the sermon here this morning. He just started a church down there. It's been going now for a little while. And a person, a head deacon of another big church, had left and offered them to use a building that he owned in the area where he was going to start a church. And then you remember I was saying, they're using his building, but then his wife approached the pastor's wife in public when there was a lot of people around and began to levy against her about her husband, that the pastor, this young pastor, and said, you know, I don't think he's doing things right, and we're just, if things don't change, we're just not satisfied with this church and so forth. And he said, this pastor told me, he said, we'll probably leave. Now, I didn't tell him this. If he calls back anymore, I think I will. How do you handle a situation like that? Well, what he's going to find out is, first of all, the best way to handle a situation when you have a deacon's wife do this to the pastor's wife or anybody else right out in public where it makes an open spectacle, as a pastor, never go to the wife. That's the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life. Don't go to the wife. Have you ever made that mistake, Pastor Younce? That's why I'm saying, never go to the wife. Yes, I've made that mistake, and I paid dearly for it. Go to the husband and say, this is what your wife done, and if she ever does it again, I want you out of this church now. Boom. Take your building and go. If we've got to meet on a street corner, it's better on a street corner with a good spirit than your building with a spirit of diversity. So you tell your wife, not me, if she ever does that again, you're gone. That's it. Now, since they don't have any deacons yet, this deacon is expecting to, of course, since he was the head deacon of a big church, to be appointed deacon. So I did say this to him. Are you going to try to elect deacons to start this church or appoint them? And he said, well, she already wants to vote on several things. I said, if you can do it, do not vote on your first deacons. You appoint them, because these people can vote in any Tom, Dick, or Harry, because Joe's a wonderful fella. Yeah, he's a demon at the deacon board, but wonderful fella. You appoint, if you start a church, you appoint the first deacons. And it's a good thing to keep on appointing them. Amen? You don't hear any hints of that. If you want to survive, it is. Okay, so much for that. Now, where was I at? I just had to get that in. Okay, Job. You remember Job chapter 1? Well, who appeared there? The sons of God. And they were sons of God by creation, never by regeneration. That's right. Never by regeneration there. And God even put it in his mind there. They appeared before God. And you know, I wonder why they appeared before God. Well, I finally figured out why. Because first of all, God probably called Satan and then said, it's time for you to give an account to me. Come on in here. Come on in here. I want you before me, buddy. And at this time, God put it into his mind, because Satan knew he couldn't do anything without God's permission. So God said, have you considered my servant Job, Satan? Well, yes, he said, but you've got a hedge around him. Isn't that good to know? You got a hedge about you too. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You got a hedge right around you. Unless you get out of the will of God, then that hedge isn't there anymore. But as long as you're doing the will of God, what did he say to them in Matthew chapter 10 and also in the book of Revelation? He said, if you endure to the end of what? You shall be saved. To the end of your ministry, being faithful to me, you will be saved alive. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Amen? That's why I take vinegar and honey so that cholesterol don't get in there and foul the whole shindig up there. So put that in there. Sonny knows that. You got that down now, Sonny? That's one tablespoon of vinegar to two tablespoons of honey and a glass of warm water. Now, he got mixed up on that, so he downs two big tablespoons of vinegar and then tries to wear it down with one tablespoon of honey and hair fell out. But other than that, he's got it right now. Okay, let's go on. Here we go. Excuse me. Their graduation, which is the angel of the Lord, this angel is presented as no other angel in Scripture. He possesses a position no other angel could apply or occupy. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Write down Judges chapter 6, verse 12 to 14. Genesis chapter 16, verse 7, 9 and 10, 11 and 13. There are many other places where Jesus Christ is the angel of the Lord. This is called a theophany when the Lord Jesus appears in the Old Testament. A theophany. Now we come to about some other heavenly creatures, which are the cherubims. All right? We find out they were placed at the Garden of Eden to guard it, so man couldn't come back in and eat of the tree and live forever. We find out also that this is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. And also, you might write down here, it's also given about the cherubims in Ezekiel chapter 1 and also in Ezekiel chapter 10. Now, let's go over here to the book of Ezekiel, okay? In the book of Ezekiel here in chapter 1, we have these heavenly creatures over here. We find out, and we don't have time to give you the whole description here and what they represent and so forth, but we find out here that all of these creatures, if you go to verse 28 of the first chapter, and it gives all of their faces and so forth, one in verse 10, face of a man, face of a lion, face of an ox, face of an eagle, and you come on down and you find out that Their appearance was like burning coals in verse 13, and tells a lot about them and things that they're just heavenly creatures. But if you come to verse 28, and the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. Why do you go to chapter 10? Because chapter 10 tells that these are the cherubims. All right, so we go to Ezekiel chapter 10. Here's what we find. You'll find out a lot here of the same thing of the description that are given here in chapter 10 as those in chapter 1. All right? So you'll find out here as we go on over and look here in verse 20. This is the living creature that I saw under God of Israel by the river Chebar, and I knew that these were the what? The cherubims. All right? Found in Ezekiel 1, clarified in Ezekiel chapter 10. Now we come to the seraphims. Now the seraphims are only mentioned once in the Bible, and that is, which you'll need to know where, Isaiah chapter 6. You'll find out the cherubims had four wings and the seraphims had six. That's a great revelation, isn't it? I don't know what that means. The ones with four wings got around just as fast as the ones with six, so I don't. But these are also heavenly creatures. You know, there's a lot of things to see when we get up into heaven, isn't there? A lot of things to see. I want to see these cherubims and the four and the 20 elders. And there's going to be a lot of things to see. We come over here to page 236, and we find out here we have Michael again, the archangel. And we find out that Moses, when he was disputing about the body of, or not Moses, but Michael, when Moses died, he was disputing about where the body should be buried. Well, God didn't want the body buried so anybody would ever found it, because they knew they'd make a memorial unto Moses and worship him just like they do Mary or anybody else. I don't know. I listened to the rosary this morning. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now in the hour of our death and so forth. Mary, Mother of God, Queen of Heaven and Queen of Earth and so forth. And I'm thinking that's blasphemy. Mary, pray for us now in the hour of our death, us sinners in the hour of our death. Pray for me now. What are you going to pray for me for? What do I mean? What are you going to pray for? I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. You know, I'm going to pray for you. And you idiots saying that. And don't know beans from apple butter. But anyway, Moses had died, and the Lord didn't want his body to be found. Satan did. And there was quite a dispute over it. So the Lord sends Michael. So there's Michael the archangel in Jude verse 9. While contending about the body of Moses, doth not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Now, if Michael the archangel would not bring a railing accusation against Satan, then you know it's a funny thing. How in the world are you and I going to cast out a demon? By these Pentecostal preachers and Assemblies of God and so forth like that. And if Michael the archangel wouldn't bring a railing accusation against Satan, the only ones that God ever endowed with that power was the 12 apostles. Cast out demons and so forth. But after they were gone, that was the end of it. It wasn't anymore. I'll tell you one thing. Being around some demon-possessed people, bad demon-possessed people, very prominent, there's no question about they're demon-possessed. I'll tell you what, I just leave, get out of there, and the Lord rebuke thee, and I don't want anything to do with you, none whatsoever. When they begin to speak in a man's voice, come right out of a woman's vocal cords, and point his finger right in your nose practically, this is John the Baptist, that man is a false teacher, and that's me. Margie about died hunting the first window to go out. And a Pentecostal lady, and she was the sister of one of the deacons up in our church up at Door Lake. And he wanted to know if we would come over and try to talk with his sister. She's a Pentecostal. And they could not let her. She went out the back door, and when she first got up there, and the horses went wild. It's a funny thing with animals. They can sense something, sense it. And they could not let the her go anywhere where the animals could see her because they just went in a frenzy. She must have had a legion of demons in her. But she was sitting there talking in a very nice feminine voice, just like a woman would talk. And I remember in Bible college, I think it was Dick Seymour, was saying he'd been down some of the islands down there and run into demon possession there. And he said, it worked for me. He said, just keep mentioning the blood. The demons cannot stand the blood of Jesus Christ. So, just sort of like a flash came over. Good time to try her, you know. And so I said to her, I said, boy, aren't you glad the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ died for you? And you can't go to heaven without the blood being shed. And Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And boy, I hit blood about five times. And she just stiffened up like that. And, that man is a false prophet. And a man's voice came right out through her vocal cords. Margie's eyes went from about there, that big, what in the world is happening, you know. And she's demon-possessed. Demon-possessed. And, boy, you get around some of these things, and I'm not going to take time to relate any more of them here now because I want to go on. But I've been around some others, and I'll tell you what, it's very frightening, and there is power in demons. There's power in them. And you got to remember something. When a medium begins to tell you about your relative that is 100 years ago, you got to remember that demon knows everything about your mother. That demon has been here before you were ever created, mankind ever on this earth, and that demon knows everything about your grandmother, when she lived, who she dated, what she did, everything about her, and can relate that sometimes to the medium who will then tell you, and you think that she is some great spirit of God, when she's nothing more than demon-possessed. And another trickery of demons is, they'll tell you something, and then they'll go out and try to make it happen to prove that they were right. You don't want to fool with that stuff, folks. That's bad business. The Ouija board, bad stuff. But so much for that, let's go on down. Here we go, okay? We come on down here, and at the bottom of the page, they're divided into two great moral realms or spheres. And I think our time's about gone there. Let's see how many more we got to go here. I think what we'll do, okay, 36. I think what we'll do here is stop here on page 236. We'll begin on page 237 here. And next week now, we'll take and give you the first half of the class. We'll finish up on angelology, and then the last part of the class, I'll give you what's going to be on your test for angelology, okay? I think we'll do. Okay, well, let's close here on this now, and we'll pick it up here on page 237. And it gets interesting here as we get into some of these things here and find out a little bit about the angels and so forth. And which ones are in prison and so forth, why they're there, and checking back to Genesis where the sons of man marry the daughters of men, and the sons of God marry the daughters of men. Who are they? What are they? And so forth. So it'll be interesting as we examine those things. Okay, let's just bow in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed, all right? Father, we're grateful to you, and we thank you so much. Thank you for this wonderful class that we have here. Thank you for the men that have put a lot of time into studying on these things here, but it's going to pay them great dividends here. Thank you for those who've come who are not going to take the test, but they have the tapes and they have the information and they have those things to study. We thank you for them so much because these things they'll be able to use. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. If you're not approved to God to be able to have knowledge, how can he send you out to do a work? He can't do it. You can't work without knowledge. You can't build a house without a knowledge of carpentry. You can't put in the electric without a knowledge of electricity. You can't put in the bathroom facilities without a knowledge of plumbing. You've got to have a knowledge, and neither can you be an effective witness for Christ without a knowledge of the Word of God. So we thank you, dear Lord, for these are dedicated to study. Thank you for their dedication. We pray that you'll use them greatly, dear Lord, in your service to be able to defend the faith once delivered unto the saints. We thank you for them. Give them a good, safe trip home. And thank you for all that they do and how you're going to use them. It'll be a thrill to see it. Bless each one of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, if you'll please turn the tape over to the other side. Thank you.